Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. And we know that in the founding of this nation, we had what was called the Black Robe Regiment. These were the men who led in the battle for independence, for the freedom, okay? And they used as their manual, God's Word, the Bible, right here, the King James Bible. And these were pastors. They were all pastors that led in the battle for independence. And John, where does judgment begin?
In the house of the Lord, Pastor Ernie.
And in that house, where does it begin? In that pulpit, right?
I was going to say the pulpit.
Yeah. And so we need some courage, because no place has our Lord been more dishonored than from the pulpits that were supposed to be churches. Those were the people that were supposed to be bold, brave. The Bible says that the righteous are as bold as lions, but what we've had there in those pulpits, as we've had, as he says in Isaiah 56:10, they were like dumb dogs, too afraid to bark. We have pastors that are feminized. They've got no courage. They fear the government
more than God.
But we need bold, courageous men to lead and take this nation back to one nation under God. Would you pray and ask the good Lord for that?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, since Roe versus Wade back in 1973, there's been a small element within the church that have stood, like yourself. And the vast majority, and I don't think, I know they're not for abortion, but they're not, it's not on their radar screen, the killing of the baby. But it is, Pastor Ernie, on God's radar screen. And it's a great abomination to him. It is the shedding of innocent blood. And the in Leviticus, I think we shared this last week, Leviticus 18, it says that for such sins, God vomits out the inhabitants. Well, what's happening now is the baby killers there, I look at them, and what we're seeing is like the French Revolution. This is the way the French Revolution was. And the French Revolution was against God and any concept of anything of God. So we're coming up against that now. And they're going to be coming after churches. They're going to be coming after politicians, pro-life centers, pregnancy centers, and all of that. And we're going to have to stand, Pastor Ernie. No longer can this be ignored in the pulpits. We need fire in the belly of the preachers to stand for the Lord, to stand for righteousness, to stand for his word. So that's what I would like to pray, Pastor Ernie.
Go ahead, John.
All right. Yeah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that the word tells us, Lord. And the word tells us to stand for those that are being put to death. Your word tells us what you do to nations that shed innocent blood, like America. Lord, your word, we are in the true fear of your word, Lord. The fear is to obey you. The fear is to hate what you hate and to love what you love. And Lord, I think of Proverbs where it says you hate the hands that shed innocent blood. You hate those that imagine wickedness, and that's what the abortion did. So Lord, the weight has not been evenly pulled amongst your people. There's only been a relatively small remnant. And we're asking now for a move of your church, Lord, fire in the belly of the pastors, the people given leadership, Lord, because we have the French Revolution building in our midst. There's no doubt about it. That combined with the homosexual movement are both energized now. So, Lord, this can be defeated by you through prayer, intercession, standing in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I want to thank you for all the pro-lifers that stood through the years, Lord. Many of them have gone to be with you now. But we thank you for it, Lord. So we're asking for a move of the Holy Spirit in the church to stand, Lord. This is out in front of us. This is no time to cut and run. This is the time to stand in the name of Jesus and face evil. Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray for victory. Oh, Lord, I don't know if the church is it's lost its salt, Lord. If it doesn't stand, it lost its salt. And you know what your word says about losing salt, Lord. It's been thrown out into the street to be trampled under of men. So, Lord, and I want to thank you for Pastor Ernie, who stood all these years, never once turned to the left or to the right, all these years, and the mighty things he's done in pro-life, Lord, and other things, but we're talking about pro-life now. So bless him, Lord. Protect him, protect his church, protect his family, and that he may remain a beacon of truth here now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And all that right back at you, John. And here, you know, not far from here is a college called Oberlin. I wouldn't send my dog there today, but at one time, Oberlin was a very, very good college, and it taught people God's Word, the Bible. And there was a fellow named Charles Finney, and he was kind of a great evangelist. And, John, he would have agreed with what you said, because back in 1873, he prophetically stated here, and this is the last paragraph of his sermon called The Decay of Conscience. And listen to what Charles Finney had to say. If there is decay of conscience in the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. Boy, does our public press lack, does our public press, does the mainline media, do they lack, oh my gosh, moral discernment?
Yep.
They lack everything, Pastor Ernie, everything they lack.
Okay.
There's no soundness in them.
Then the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. Well, we're seeing that, aren't we? If the world loses its interest in Christianity, we have an article right here where it's saying in 1948, they took a poll, and 98% of the people, 98% of the people, believed in God. They recently took a poll, and I think it's a lot, actually worse than that. And now, only 73% of the people believe in God. And so here, and I don't think it's that many.
No, I think that's too high.
Yeah. Okay. He goes on to say, if Satan rules in our halls of legislation, boy, does he. The pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. Well, Charles, you hit the nail right on the head. And there you go. So, Katie, now, I know what we're going to be going. We're going to be going for the Human Life Amendment from life at conception, aren't we?
Yes, yes, that's what we're going for. Yes, sir.
And, well, tell the folks how they could get involved with Cleveland Right to Life and Ohio Pro-Life Action.
Well, actually, I'm so glad you asked, because the Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio, as you may recall, Pastor Ernie, is a wonderful grassroots organization, and it's a collection of pro-life organizations all throughout the state of Ohio. And it was born, as I'm learning, I was not here at the time, but my mentor and president of our organization, Molly Smith, you know, as she tells me, that it was kind of born out of the frustration about what was going on with Ohio Right to Life. And that's why I kind of jokingly corrected you at the beginning of the show, because Ohio Right to Life is, you know, from what I'm hearing, they're very, very close with the governor and, you know, the establishment politicians. And, you know, they you know, I can't speak for their motives, but all I can say is that sometimes their support or lack of support.
Let me go there. I was on the board for 21 years. For 21 years.
Okay.
Can't speak
to that then, Pastor. I'm going to let you go then.
Let me tell you, it started going downhill when they brought in the facilitators, and then things started going in the other direction to the point where they fought us on our pro-life legislation, where planned predators actually said they don't have to give testimony on the heartbeat bill against it because they had Ohio Right to Life to do that. And so they were...
Oh my goodness.
And so I urge people not... They were infiltrated. This is how the opposition works. They're parasitical. They get within, and they've got patience. Even if they take a long time, they'll eat a healthy body from within. A lot of Linda... Thighs, myself, many of the people, Jan Porter, many of the people who were on the board of Ohio Right to Life now have come over, the ones that have left there, and they're working for the Pro-Life Action Committee now. And so, but yeah, they've gone bad. I urge the people out there not to support them because they're actually our opposition now. And so... That's how it works.
Yeah, but, I mean, when you talk to them, you know, or their representatives, they don't, of course, tell you that. You know, everybody says, oh, we're all on the same side and we're all on the side of life. But it's just really interesting. You know, I was in Columbus four times over the last month. You know, I was listening to testimony on the latest, you know, what at the time was called the trigger bill, which is, you know, they were having hearings. And it was interesting because... The Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio, our organization, you know, we're sort of like the anti-Ohio Right to Life in that we take a position because it's the right thing to do, you know, not because it's politically expedient or popular. And Ohio Right to Life is supporting this trigger bill, even though it has a number of exceptions and affirmative defenses in there that basically would enable the, you know, the abortionist to come up with any reason for performing an abortion and to justify it. So, you know, the Action Coalition said, well, wait a minute, there's just too much language in there that could be exploited by the abortionists. So, you know, we can't in good conscience support that. So right before the, you know, the summer recess, there were some hearings, and I'm going to be interested to see what happens when they come back in the fall for the, you know, lame duck session. Because, you know, we will work with legislators if they take out some of the language that we find objectionable. I don't know how successful we're going to be because I think they kind of think that the Action Coalition is sort of the annoying, you know, upstart. And, you know, I wear that badge with pride because, we may not have all the politicians in our pockets like, you know, some of the other people, but, you know, when we make noise, it gets heard, and we are slowly building our organization. And as I said, it is a grassroots organization. So we're always looking for pro-life organizations, large and small, to join us. So if anybody's interested in learning more about the organization, you could go to rtlaohio.org. That's rtlaohio.org. Or you could go to clevelandrighttolife.org. That's my organization that I'm the director of. And, of course, Cleveland Right to Life is a member of the Action Coalition, so that's how I'm involved there. But if anybody out there is interested in learning more about Cleveland Right to Life, I would be happy to talk to you. Just please feel free to email me. My email is kate@clevelandrighttolife.org. That's Kate, K-A-T-E, at clevelandrighttolife.org. And we're always looking for good people to, you know, to help out the cause. So thank you for letting me get that plug in there, Pastor Ernie. Appreciate it.
Well, you know, in the beginning, I was there when we made our mission statement. And back in the early days, we had 88 counties. We had 88 chapters. With Ohio
Wow.
Right to Life, and those were contributors. I think now they have, from what I've been told, and I don't have any proof of this, but they have about 8 deep pockets that support them, and that's the problem when you get into 8 deep pockets. The opposition, one thing that our opposition, that the death movement has, is a lot of money, don't they? And
gosh, yes, that's so true.
And they know how to spend that money. And so, here again, we are Right now, how many chapters do we have right now in the Pro-Life Action League?
Oh, we have, I believe, at last count, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 32 organizations throughout the
yeah.
state. And we have a couple more that are coming on board. They just kind of have to finish, you know, finish completing the, you know, the requirements. But, you know, you don't have to be in a large organization like Cleveland Right to Life or Cincinnati Right to Life to be a member. So I definitely want people to understand that, you know, we have very small organizations that, you know, where it could be, you know, two or more people have decided that they're going to have their own, you know, pro-life league and they want to do their part in their neighborhood. Well, they're certainly welcome to join as well. So it's, you know, it's definitely made up of groups of, you know, large and small. And the thing I love about it is it's definitely from the ground up, you know, so it's not like there is this big hierarchy up at the top, you know, like you see with some of these other organizations, which shall remain nameless. we get our marching orders, you know, we get input from all of our members. And then based on that, then we make a decision and put it out to the members and tell them why we're doing what we're doing. And it's a really well-run organization. Everybody's respectful. And what I love about it is that everybody is there because they believe in what they're doing. They're not getting some big paycheck or anything like that. You know, none of us get paid for that. We're doing it because, you know, we're all rowing in the same direction and we want to affect legislation and we want to make a difference in the state of Ohio and we want to save babies' lives. And so it's really been awesome to work with so many wonderful people and to not be, you know, tainted by the stink of corruption. And, you know, it's very pure to me, and I love it, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of the organization, really.
Well, you're one of the reasons I'm grateful to be a part of the organization. And
thank you, Pastor Ernie. That's so kind. I appreciate that.
Well, yeah, and again, you know, we remember when we first got it started, we had a little problem getting the chapters to come on with us. They were a little hesitant to leave Ohio Right to Life, but one by one they did. And now by far we are the major pro-life organization in Ohio. By far we're the largest. And so, in fact, what Molly and what you guys there at Cleveland Right to Life put on every year, bringing America back to life, I think that's one of the, I think that's actually as big as the National Right to Life Convention. I've spoken at a number of the National Right to Life conventions in the past, but I believe what you guys put on right, Cleveland Right to Life is every bit as big as the national convention. What do you think?
I agree with you 100%, Pastor Ernie. In fact, you know, of course, I'm a little biased because I work for the organization that puts this on, and we work very, very hard to put on this amazing symposium for people. But also, you know, I've talked to people, you know, I spend time, very much time, talking to people who have attended. And I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said, oh, yeah, I've been to, you know, pro-life conventions all over the country, and this one is by far the best. And I can't tell you how awesome that makes us feel because, you know, we start working on that, you know, at the end of the year. So, you know, it's usually in March of, you know, of every year. So this year, it's, you know, the 2 days in March. And there is just so much work that goes into it. You have no idea. It's just, it's definitely a labor of love. But it's so affirming to see people come in and just to see their eyes open. You know, we had some controversial speakers this year. And that's one thing I love about working with Molly Smith, because she is unapologetic. You know, she knows what's right and she knows what's wrong. And, you know, some people tell her, well, maybe you guys should tone it down a little bit, you know? And she just kind of rolls her eyes and says, no, we're not toning it down. We're not toning it down until things change. And, you know, so I get so much inspiration from Molly because, you know, she's no holds barred, man. She, you know, you probably know better than anyone, Pastor Ernie, but, she's really been a great mentor to me. And, to see, you know, what she and the organization have built for, you know, as far as this convention is concerned. And I, you know, this is my first one that I took part in this past March. And I, can't wait. You know, I'm already making plans. I can't wait until the next one because we have people coming in from all over the country. And, you know, we have world-class speakers and just provocative topics that some people are afraid to touch. And it's really, really exciting. People, you know, send us feedback and they say, gosh, you know, I didn't know about this particular speaker, but I learned so much. And, you know, we're not afraid to tackle topics, you know, like the vaccine. And, you know, we had Father Altman, who is sort of in the crosshairs of the Catholic Church, and he blasted the church, you know, on their stance on, you know, homosexuals. And, you know, so, you know, we're not afraid to go there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. And I believe me, I know all about that. I've been doing it for 50 years, and you wouldn't believe some of the names that the opposition has come up for with me. They used to call me the pro-life attack dog. I was that's what the opposition called me. But anyhow,
if I were you, I hope you took that as a compliment.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I went. I made it. I bit him with it. All righty, there you go. Now. One of the things I'd like to say, before Molly came along, I was for years, the only strong pro-life voice in Northeast Ohio, or in Ohio. I mean, I was the only real pro-life radio program, and that was our main emphasis, of saving babies, until she came along. And then when she came along, we were multi-topical, you know, we talked about all different events. She was strictly pro-life, and that really, really added between the two of us. You know, Justice Thompson says, but no, let me go back to Molly. One of the things for years and years that I always said, look, when it comes to endorsing these candidates, okay, you know, in this ministry we're in, from day one, we've had a policy of no compromise, period. None. No compromise. And that's what I always wanted to do. I wanted to say, here's our requirements to get our endorsement. Here's our requirements. None of this for the life of the mother. None of this for rape or incest. None of this. Look, first of all, that life of the mother thing, I think they did going back to, what was it, John, from about 1975 to about 1985, they had, where it comes to life of the mother, there wasn't one documented case where a baby had to be killed for the life of the mother. I don't know if those are exact dates, but it was somewhere around that area. And that was put out by the health department. Not one. So that whole thing, life of the mother thing, rape or incest. Rape and incest, that does not justify. You don't kill a third party. You know, you don't kill an innocent person for the crimes of somebody else, okay? That's lunacy. You might as well run as a Democratic congressman if you're going to be that crazy, okay? And so, that's how bad it is. But so that was my policy, and praise the good Lord, I ran into Molly. Now, we had people sending me letters, some nutcases from MoveOn.org, trying to get me off the air. And this guy, he said that just before Pastor Sanders is on the air, Molly. A woman named Molly, and she must be his wife because she's as crazy as he is. And so, and I thought, you know what? Molly is a lady. She's a lady, and she kind of reminds me some of, who was the English Prime Minister? Margaret Thatcher. She kind of reminds me in a little way like Margaret Thatcher. She'll stand her ground. Amen. And you know what, Katie, too, all of you ladies there on that board, you know, are that way. You know, that's one thing that on our board, all of the women are ladies. They're all ladies. And boy, I tell you, I've had my run-in with the opposition out there, And I can tell you, they're not ladies.
I know that.
Do you know Hillary Clinton?
My parents raised me to be a lady, and I always will be till the day I die.
I mean, some of those women, I mean, we've had, well, back in 2017, that was the, we were there when they had the Women's March after Trump got elected. And that was the dirtiest thing I've ever seen. The most unclean thing. I couldn't believe that Women's March, what they did. That was just, you had these Muslim women covered head to toe out there blaspheming God and speaking against Donald Trump. And you had the Democratic women. It was about 45 degrees out, and they were out there topless. They were topless. But that wasn't the worst part. The part that angered me so much was they had 9 and 10-year-old boys and girls, and they hold up placards with the F word on it, you Trump, you know, F you Trump, and they had these kids screaming that out. They had these little, you know, they should have been charged right there. They should have been charged with child abuse. it's lawlessness. But anyhow, that's what I like so much about our organization. Now we've come to that, finally. We've come to the position of, you know, no compromise, period. We should have been, that's what I wanted to do all along.
But yes, and yeah, I'm so pleased. You know, that was one of the first things that I noticed when I joined the organization, and I did, it just jumped out at me, and I said, oh my gosh, this is awesome. You know, we don't make apologies for the fact that we do not endorse any candidate, you know, who will make allowances for exceptions. And I just am so glad that you brought up the whole rape and incest fallacy, because, you know, I just, to me, it's incomprehensible that somebody can look at one human being who may have been conceived, you know, as the result of a sexual assault, and say, you know, you don't deserve to be here. You know, you have no right to be here. I mean, who are we to tell another human being that based on the circumstances of their conception that they do not have a right to live? You know, to me, that is just, I can't even believe it. And so, that's one thing that we have to try to educate the public about, you know, because the left, they love to use the whole rape and incest crutch as a reason, you know, for keeping abortion legal. And you remember back in the old days, they used to say, oh, we want abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. But then, slowly as the years go on, they begin making more and more allowances. And pretty soon, you know, we have guys like the former governor in Virginia who wants to basically let the parents decide even after birth if the child deserves to live. So, you know, anytime anybody on the left tries to make the argument about, abortion for rape and incest victims, well, you know, you should ask them, okay, well, let me just give you a hypothetical. If, you know, if we were to do that, you know, and just make those exceptions, would you agree then that abortion in every other circumstance should be illegal? And they quickly shut up, let me tell you, you know, because that tells you right there, it's not about rape and incest. That's just the little crutch that they used to try to sway public sentiment. And, you know, we're not falling for it. And I think that people are wising up. And, you know, thanks to organizations like the Action Coalition, we have to keep educating people about the tactics of the left and how they are false, and people cannot believe in them because, as Dr. Seuss said, a person is a person no matter how small. And so that's kind of our little unofficial motto. And we, you know, we're going to push for it, and we're not going to give up until we get it.
Well, it has gotten so bad. I mean, we talked about last night with our guest that we had on the program last night. Now, you know, the horrible, horrible thing, Pittsburgh University, what they're doing with these babies that are born alive, full-term babies, and they're dissecting them, selling their body parts. I mean, it's unbelievable. And now you have these women who are getting pregnant on purpose and conceiving, carrying to term, because they can get $10,000, $12,000 for a child that, or more, that's at full.
Oh my gosh.
Full term, and they're doing that, and it's happening, and it's a lot more common and prevalent than people know. That's what the Project Veritas, when they go into and investigate into this, that David Dalton, when they expose this, I mean, it's horrible, horrible things that are happening out there today, and very few people even want to talk about it. They don't even want to think about it. But yeah, they women will do that nowadays. I mean, it's pure evil. I mean, even a mother bear will fight to the death to protect her cubs. And today we've got these women that are so wicked. I mean, it's just unbelievable what it's come to. So God has raised us up for such a time as this. We're here and to run to this battle, and that's what we're doing. We're going to run to this battle, okay?
Amen.
But hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
Some people say that no one should be condemned to die. They say that it's unhuman and it's cruel. They say that it's not right, but those same people carry signs saying they support a woman's right to choose. Show mercy to the ones that never show it, and none to those that need it most of all. You've got the nerve to call yourself a Christian when you'll see a killer walk before you'll see a baby crawl. Churches have been known to make a stand, but now we see some churches bending to the will of man. They used to set a standard, and they seldom let it down. Church used to change the man, now it's the other way around.
Alrighty, we're back, and let me ask you a question, because you hear this, it's my body, but here, how in the world could they say that when if it was their body, they'd have to have like four arms, four legs, four eyes. I mean, I had a mother, and her body and my body were two complete different things, right?
Yep.
And so how, where, I mean, is there no common sense with these people?
If that's directed at me, then the answer would be no, Pastor Ernie, because, as far as I'm concerned, it's pretty simplistic. I like to break it down. Yeah, you have bodily autonomy, except when it comes to the matter of another human life, and it stops there. Because once that human life, you know, comes into being, then all bets are off. Then you, you know, you have no say over it. You know, it's up to God, and you know, we have no business deciding who lives and dies. You know, and so yeah, it's your body up until the point there's another human body inside your body, and then you have to keep your hands off of it. And keep the abortionist forceps off of it as well. So, you know, people always say, "Yeah, it's my choice," and that should be between a woman and her doctor and everything else. Well, there's a human life in there, and I go back to, "Thou shalt not kill." It's pretty simple. Even people who are not people of faith can understand that killing is wrong. And I always try to break it down, you know, in as simple as terms as possible, because most people they love to. Just, you know, hear little talking points or little catchphrases and repeat it over and over again. And they really don't even stop to think about what they're saying. And once you remind them that there is a human being in there, it's pretty hard to deny it. And then they have to come right out and admit that they apparently are, you know, psychopaths and they have no problem killing an innocent human being. And that's where, you know, people like that, I'm just afraid, you know, we have to pray for them, but they just cannot be reasoned with. Now, there are some people who are reasonable and you can talk to them and, you know, they may be able to see, you know, see your side and start thinking that way. But there are just some people that are just so far gone that you just, you know, you kind of shake your head and you say, you know, I'm not going to engage with this person because it's no use. All they try to do is shout you down and scream, my body, my choice, and keep your bands off my body and all this other kind of nonsense. And, you know, you're really not getting anywhere with them. And, you know, only God can change their heart. And, you know, us human beings can only do that much. And
here's what God says about it, Katie, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 34. Also, in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these. In other words, Katie, he's telling them that he didn't have to look upon their heart to find the guilt that they've killed. The innocent, their skirts are filled with the blood of the innocents. Their own mouths, by their own mouths, they convicted themselves. And here, now, it's an interesting thing because, you see, you had all these nurses. We sent out religious exemption forms for people who were against the poisonous poke, the vaccine they called it, okay, the bioweapon. And so, because all of these nurses, I mean, we had a ton of nurses asked me for that. We sent them out to them, and because they tried to explain to them, they didn't want, it was their body, and they didn't want the poison in their body. I didn't want the poison in my body. I let them know very clearly without any doubt, right? And just like you had one-third of our Navy SEALs quit because they didn't want to have the poison, and a large percentage of our Marines and Army resigned because they didn't, because it actually was their body, you see. It actually was their body. So the very same people that are talking about pro-choice when it comes to a completely individual, you know, they're in favor of killing the baby, but then they're silent. The same people are silent when it comes to taking the poisonous poke. What do you think of that?
There were, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
There were billboards down south that had the same theme. It was my body, my choice, and it was an anti-vax billboard. I mean, it's really that simple. And then when you were talking about trying to reason with these radicals, you simply just can't rationalize with the irrational. It's really that simple. There's nothing you can say that will change their mind.
There's a word for that. It's called reprobate, given over, where they can no longer distinguish between good and evil, what's right, what's wrong, okay? They've been given over. And that this is why you see them screaming and yelling and out there. I mean, back in the early days of our Operation Rescues and that, these people, I'm going to be preaching, Lord's willing, this Sunday on the seed of the serpent, okay? And the Bible makes it very, very clear. These people that you see out there screaming and burning, and these are the seeds of the serpent. They are the seeds of the serpent. And so, anyhow, let's take a fast couple of calls real quick. Let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air. Well, folks, we're here. Okay. I think what he's doing, I think he's picking up some calls. The callers are all calling in. But here's what we got. Justice Thomas says SCOTUS. But before I even go there, you know, I've got to say I was wrong. I thought, John, you know, I told you that I thought that only Thomas and Alito would be the only ones that would stand their ground. I figured the others would back down when Antifa and Burn, Loot, and Murder put the pressure on them. But I was wrong. I was wrong. But here, Thomas says that SCOTUS should revisit rulings on sodomite marriage, sodomy, and contraception. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that Justice Thomas is like head and shoulders the best, Pastor Ernie. I mean, his decisions are wonderful, and his like opposing opinions are wonderful. He's really come into the top class of being a justice, and that's why the left hates him so much. But he's a tremendous, tremendous man on our side.
Katie, that's also what I like about our organization, because we're not just about pro-life, the babies, abortion. We are pro-life, pro-God, pro-life, pro-family, and we're for life. We're anti-euthanasia, from cradle to grave. We stand for life, but we also stand for all. Okay. The phones are lit, but you were on the phone. Yep, you were. Okay, let's take one. Who's the first guy, Cliff? Okay, let's go with Jack real quick. This will be 1 minute calls.
Yes, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
Does the Bible specifically reference abortion? What can you tell us what the Bible does say about the subject?
Well, yeah, probably one of the best passages would be this, that if two men get into a fight and a woman, the wife of one of these men who is pregnant, if she interferes and jumps into that fight and it causes the fruit of her womb, which is the child, to depart from her, that if the child is alive, if it survives, then the husband of that woman will fine the opposition. But if the child should die, then the man who caused the death would have to forfeit his life, because he destroyed for that innocent child, that baby right there. So that tells you right there that, you know, in any case, when you purposely abort a child, you're guilty of death. In fact, going back to what we just read in Genesis chapter 9, the entire purpose of divine human government is to preserve the image of God, that being man. And he tells you three times by the time you get to Genesis 9 to be fruitful and multiply. In other words, exactly the opposite of what our government tells us to do today. Okay, we got to move. Who's next? Clifford, you're in the air, Cliff. We got to go quick.
Yeah, two quick points. One is the imprecatory prayer. I was thinking, you know, you just mentioned enforcement. And if you look at David, if anybody had means of enforcement in terms of his position, it would have been David at certain points. And yet he has to resort to imprecatory prayers. So, you know, an example would be Psalm 9, where he says, I will bring forth the wondrous works of the Lord. He's giving credit to the Lord, but he's saying his imprecatory prayer is bringing about these works. So, you know, you have to do the imprecatory prayers, because to bring about enforcement. Another point is that another verse is Psalm 80, verses 18. It says, where the Lord says he wants to quicken the people, where it's asking, these people got to realize, number one, they want 100% abortion, you know, and they want forced abortion. That's the ultimate aim. They want every pregnancy, and they want euthanasia. They want 100%, but for law enforcement. So they want it to the nth degree, you know. And as your guest said, it's not about what they're saying it's about. Like even with this vaccine, they said it was about, you know, not burdening the nurses and doctors in New York. They fired all of them that wouldn't take the shot. So
yeah, I know. It was never- You're right. It's about depopulation. Again, the Bible says, he tells you in Deuteronomy 30, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I've set in the meetings with the World Health Organization, Sierra Club, Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, and their goal is to depopulate this planet. They don't, you know, they want to reduce the population on this earth to 500,000. We're almost at 8 billion. So that tells you they're about death. They are the death culture. But I got to move on. Who's next? Timothy, you're in the air. You got about a minute.
Yes, good evening. It's finally getting to the fruition of what we've been waiting for. And I just wanted to say that God's word is clear. Today I was reading again that you are either for me or against me. Choose this day whom you will serve. They all have a chance to repent before they perish, except for blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and he can renew all of the wrongs that were done if people get on their knees and accept him as Lord and Savior. And I hope that this is a turning point for this country. If it takes civil war, you know, Democrats be damned, and you know, I guess God wins in the end. He gets the final say.
They're not going to like it when it comes, and let me just tell you this very quickly because we're running out of time. But this thing didn't happen by accident. They cannot afford an honest and fair election in November. They cannot afford that. And one of the reasons that this thing was leaked was to try to activate and motivate the opposition. The death culture knew that it would come, but they wanted it now. That they think that this is going to activate their side. But you know what? When they get out and they start burning and looting and killing, it's going to activate our side more so. But thanks, Timothy. One last call. Who's the next one? Steve, you're in the air.
Yes, Sanders. Success for all you guys all these years. Biden's cheat sheet that he got caught with, if we could find out who's telling them who to write, because I guess it's the 25 or 30-year-olds, that's where it all lies, because they can't stick him up front. And what the Supreme Court did, Donald Trump was the reason it happened, and they know that. And they are scared, running, and they have to do whatever they can if it goes to martial law. That's how they'll stop an election. But you're the only one, Pastor Joe, your whole ministry. God bless you. And go another 50 years. You're great. You got done.
All right. Thank you very much. Chaplain McTernick, we've got 4 minutes. Can you give an invitation? But Katie, I want to thank you for being here with us. Hang in. Chaplain McTernan's going to give an invitation tonight.
Pastor Ernie, could I pray for God's mercy on the nation?
Absolutely, yeah.
For the shedding of innocent blood?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Father, we're before you. Well, we have been all night in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we think of the untold numbers of babies that have been, and the word is legally slain in this nation. Our nation is blood guilty, Lord. It's blood guilty. And when Cain killed Abel, it says his blood cried out from the ground. Lord, ancient Israel killed its children, and that's one of the reasons, the main reason, it shed the blood of its children. That it was sent into, the nation was destroyed and they were sent into punishment. So Lord, we're admitting the guilt of America before you. And we're asking for mercy, Lord. We're asking that today would be a huge changing point in America, and that your church is going to raise up. Your people are going to see what we're facing with the horrors of this evil that's infiltrated, and it's powerful, Lord. It's powerful in this nation. That your people will cry out, that you will send a mighty move of the Spirit. That's what we're asking for, Lord. And the Holy Spirit will move in a mighty way for winning souls, changing hearts, raising up godly leaders, Lord, raising up people of renown to stand. That's what we're asking for, Lord. Otherwise, Lord, if we don't defend our children, if we don't defend not only the from abortion now, Lord, but trying to indoctrinate little kids in kindergarten, Lord, wanting to, whether they're male or female, wanting to slay babies after they're born, Lord, up to a month. Now taking the death shot, they want them at 5 months, giving them the death shot. Lord, we need to rise up. We need fire in our belly, Lord. We need strength from you, not to give, not to retreat, to stand in the name of Jesus and face down hell in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to thank you for Pastor Ernie's show, who and his influence, Lord, especially in Ohio, for pro-life, Lord. Amazing, amazing, Lord. Continue to bless him, protect him, protect his church. And Lord, I forget her name, but the woman that's called in here and gave great information to protect Katie. Her and her organization, Katie. Yeah. And thank you for her, Lord, and everyone standing for pro-life, Lord. Everyone, we want to thank you because those babies are near and dear to your heart. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, John.
Amen.
Amen.
Katie, you got about 15 seconds. You have a closing comment?
Oh, I just wanted to thank you so much for having me on tonight, Pastor Ernie, and for all the gentlemen who spoke so powerfully tonight. Thank you for your witness, and thank you for your passionate defense of life. And
Amen.
Please keep us all in your prayers. Everybody, you know, all of us who
we work. Will. We're out of time, Katie. Katie, I'm out of time, but I want to say you got an open invitation to be on this program with me, an open. But until tomorrow, good night. God bless. And always, always, let's do it. Keep
fighting
the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
This isn't your regular cola, so this isn't your regular cola ad. This is Nitro Pepsi, the first cola ever infused with nitrogen. So forget everything you thought you knew about soda. From the creamy foam to the smooth texture to its unbelievably delicious flavor. This is cola like you've never had it before. New Nitro Pepsi. Smooth, creamy, delicious.
Hey, baseball fans, swing by your local Lowe's Foods and visit the Pepsi display for your chance to win a $1,000 yard makeover.